very long this morning. Just probably about 10 or 15 minutes, and we still have a few more songs. I've enjoyed these songs this morning. And there's just a tremendous amount of inspiration here. And that's a great song, Brother Lowell. Just keep up the good work. It's a great, great message. And a message that lots of people need to hear. Puts you in the frame of mind to remind you that you're not perfect, but that the Lord still loves us. He's willing to forgive us if we come back to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And this challenge this week is called the challenge of radical love. And I'm going to be reading again in the New American Standard Bible, the challenge of radical love. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Does everybody know what that means when it says that? I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Doesn't that irritate? Isn't that irritating? Let me do that one more time just for effect. That's irritating. There's nothing more irritating than a Pentecostal with the heart devoid of love. There is nothing more irritating than in person, a Christian, so-called, that is willing to prophesy and speak in tongues and operate in all sorts of gifts that have not love. They're just a lot of noise. Now, verse number 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. The only way to escape the vortex of being a nobody in this life or the life to come is to practice the radical love of Christ. Verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and I have not charity, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. That means long-tempered instead of short-tempered. Love is kind. That means that not only do we have the ability to withhold our anger, but we also have the ability to do nice things for people that we're angry to. Love is kind, it's useful and benevolent. It's not jealous. The word jealous is the opposite of the word patient. Patient means long-tempered. Jealous means boiling hot. It's not jealous. Love does not brag or seek to get attention. It is not arrogant, which means to inflate or blow up. You know what happens when you blow something up? You put too much air and you know what's going to happen to it eventually. Verse number 5, does not act unbecomingly or indecent. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Everybody say provoked. You know what that means? It means that things cannot get the best of you, that people cannot push your buttons. That's what love is. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, when it's figuring out the checkbook, it doesn't deduct everything that you said wrong and did wrong before it decides what it owes you in return. Does not rejoice, verse 6, in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is the opposite of justice. Does not rejoice in injustices, but rejoices with the truth. And the truth, of course, is the opposite of delusion. Verse 7, it bears all things. The word bears there means to cover or protect. Believes all things. And the word believes there simply means trust. hopes all things. Something good can happen and endures all things. It sounds like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 is saying that love is either all or nothing. It's either all or nothing. Verse 8, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. But love never fails. I want to speak to you for the next 5 or 8 minutes or so and tell you what agape, the word, the Greek word is agape, love, means. It is a divine love, and it is from the ancient word, and it means to prefer. To prefer also means to choose something. What you choose, one thing that you choose over another, or as opposed to another thing. Agape love is in the context of spiritual things, it's what God chooses. It is His will. It is His choices. And when we have that kind of love inside of us, it means that we choose what He chooses. And we obey Him by His power and choose what He chooses, and we use His power to choose those things. It is a discriminating affection which involves choice and selection. Several Christian counselors wrote a book several years ago called Love is a Choice. Love is a choice. Beyond all feeling, beyond all experience, beyond all sensibilities, love is a choice that we make. Love is a personal, conscious decision. It has less to do with a mandate or a requirement and more to do with our preferences. God beckons us with this divine love. Step up beyond our feelings. Step up beyond what a person deserves or doesn't deserve. And to treat them with divine respect and compassion in spite of all reasons to the contrary. To agape someone is to love them not because they deserve it or because they need it. Or because we have to. To agape someone is to love them because we choose them in keeping with God's divine prerogative. And a prerogative is simply a person in power who has the right to choose what is and what is not. God has the right to choose what is and what is not. And to agape someone is to love them because we choose to keep in agreement with God's divine choices and rights. I remember several years ago, I was praying for somebody that used to come to this church. They're still friends with us. They still call us on the phone and talk to us, even though they don't live here in Fairfield anymore. Still drop by the house from time to time. And I'm not going to tell you that when I'm driving down my street and I see their car in my parking lot that I don't keep on going and go to McDonald's and then go to the park and have lunch. I'm not going to tell you that. If you heard me say that, it's because you're reading my mind. This person is very, 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 very difficult to love. And I remember praying for this person and asking God what we were supposed to do with them because it was so, they were what we call an extra grace person. And how many of you know an extra grace person in your life? Somebody that's very, 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 very difficult to love. I'm not talking, ladies, about your grouchy husband. I'm not talking, men, about your nagging wives. I'm talking about somebody who's very difficult to love. And I was praying and had been praying for several weeks, many different sorts of prayers, trying to get an answer from the Lord. And the Lord always has a way of giving us the simplest answers. But so often, not what we want to hear. And so hard to fulfill. And I was praying about this person, and the Lord said, three words. And I think he actually had a little slang in there too, I'm not sure. He said, just love them. And there was no ands, there were no ifs, there were no buts, and there were no further instructions. The only instruction I received was just love them. And that's when I began to discover a love that transcends my own personal feelings, experiences, or understanding of what love is. The Apostle Paul said, and we preached this to you earlier this year out of Ephesians chapter 3. He said that you can understand the height, the breadth, and the depth, and to know the love of God that passes understanding. How can you know something that can't be understood? Well, I'm here to tell you today, I know that Jesus loves me. But I cannot, Brother Lowell, explain it to you. I know that God's love is inside of me because the Bible says that the love of God is literally sown as farmers sow the field, as seed in our hearts, shed abroad in my hearts by the Holy Spirit that He has given it. I found out that there's a love inside of me by the power of God's Holy Spirit. It's the love of God Himself flowing out of me. It somehow gets around my own sensibilities. It somehow gets around my own instincts and feelings. It somehow gets around my personality and my personal bents and proclivities or my desires. And this love comes out of me and reaches out and touches people's lives. And I just shake my head because I know that there is this limitless, endless supply of love that is flowing out of me that has absolutely nothing to do with me. Yeah, am I preaching scripture today?
That's right, yes.
It's the challenge of radical love. It's learning to lay aside your old, beat up, worn out, stripped love, taking on you the fresh, vibrant, dynamic, powerful love of God. It is a radical love that caused God to send His only begotten Son into the world. It is a radical love that caused God to inflict pain and the judgment of sin on for all mankind, for all history, upon His Son. But it is a love that redeemed the human race.
Right.
It is a love that while we were sinners, and while we, you and I, were enemies of Christ, and while we were enemies of the kingdom of God and the principles of God, and our choices and our preferences were against His, and we rejoiced in injustices, and we were inflated with our own egos, and we were all full of all sorts of poisonous and toxic substances, while we were living in this state of being spiritually, that we were a very, 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 very unlovable person. Christ died for us when we were in that condition. And because of that, you all are sitting here on these pews this morning. Because you have come to know the love of God. you've come to experience something that cannot be explained. And because you have experienced it, you now possess it. And if you open up your heart and allow it, it will reach out to the people that come into your life. Not just your family, not just your friends, not just the people that can do you favors, but the people that society has rejected, the people that families have rejected, the people that have messed up their lives so much and made so many mistakes, people that are so ugly and spiritually twisted. God puts a love in us for that person. It's radical. It's what the church is called to do in the place and via the power of Christ in us. God puts it in your heart to love somebody. You don't have to explain it to anybody else. You just do it because it's what God asks you to do. Doug Nichols gives an illustration in closing. If you will indulge me in this story that I picked up. There was a man named Doug Nichols who went to India to be a missionary. While he was just starting to study the language and hadn't even launched his ministry yet, he became infected with tuberculosis and had to be put in a sanitarium. It was not a very good place to be. It was not very clean, and conditions were difficult because there were so many sick people there. But Doug decided to do the best that he could in that situation, so he took a bunch of Christian books and tracts, and he tried to witness to the other patients in the sanitarium. Sounds like a typical Christian, doesn't it? But when he tried to pass out tracts, they were rejected. No one wanted them. He tried to hand out books, but nobody would take them. Nobody wanted to read them. He tried to witness, but he was handicapped because of his inability to communicate in their language, and he felt so discouraged. Here he was because of his illness. And because of that, he would be there a long time. But it seemed like the work that he had been sent to do would not be done because no one would listen to him. Because of his tuberculosis, every night at about 2 o'clock, he would wake up with chronic coughing that wouldn't quit. Then one night, when he awoke, he noticed across the aisle an old man trying to get out of bed. And he said the old man would roll himself up into a little ball and teeter back and forth, trying to get up the momentum to get out of the bed and stand on his feet, but he just couldn't do it because he was too weak. Finally, after several attempts, the old man laid back and wept. The next morning, Doug understood why the man was weeping. He was trying to get up to go to the bathroom. He didn't have enough strength to do that, so his bed was a mess and there was a smell in the air. The other patients made fun of the old man, and the nurses came to clean up his bed, and they weren't kind to him either. In fact, one of them even slapped him in the face. Doug said that the old man just laid there and cried. And Doug said, the next night at about 2 o'clock, I started coughing again. And I looked across the way, and there was the old man, teetering back and forth, trying to get out of bed once more. He said, I really didn't want to do it, but somehow I managed to get up. And I walked across the aisle, and I helped the old man stand up, but he was too weak to walk. Doug said, I took him in my arms and carried him like a baby, and he was so light that it wasn't a difficult task. I took him into the bathroom, which was nothing more than a dirty hole in the floor, and I stood behind him and cradled him in my arms as he took care of himself. Then I carried him back to his bed and laid him down, and as I turned to leave, he reached up and grabbed my face and pulled me close and kissed me on the cheek and said what I think was, thank you. Doug said, the next morning there were patients waiting when I awoke, and they asked if they could read some of the books and tracts that I had brought. Others had questions about God, the God that I worshiped, and His only begotten Son who came into the world to die for sins. And Doug Nichols says that in the next few weeks he gave out all the literature that he had brought, and many of the doctors and nurses and patients in that sanitarium came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He said, now what did I do? I didn't preach a sermon. I couldn't even communicate in their language. I didn't have a great lesson to teach them. I didn't have wonderful things to offer. All I did was take an old man to the bathroom, and anybody could do that. I want to challenge you this week to love somebody with the radical love of Christ. I want to challenge you this week to pray for that difficult person that's in your life. Maybe even give them a few minutes of your time. Maybe even give them some of your attention and affection. That person who doesn't deserve your love. That person who has no right or claim to your love. That person that society would be better off if they would just crawl up in a hole and die. God calls us to love them through His Spirit. Let's bow our heads together today. Let's just take a moment to thank God for His radical love. We love Him because He first